All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, November 4th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. It is a crispy 46 degrees, partly sunny here in upstate New York. The colors are in full bloom, and it sure smells like fall. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Disruptive Technologies and the Internet of Everything, Making Kings Gods and Slaves Things. And that pretty much puts it in a nice little package of what we've been talking about for almost this whole show. Disruptive technologies are all of these new 21st century technologies that are coming at us at 150 miles an hour. This is going to be the new economy. And they put the pedal to the metal to accelerate bringing these technologies into our lives. We see now that it's all ending up in the mainstream. It is all being normalized that gene editing humans will cure your cancer. And as the next chapter in the human species, we will be going to Mars, National Geographic, coming in November. But there's a new one. We looked yesterday. They're doing all this crazy stuff with plants and modification and CRISPRing. We looked at them enslaving spinach. And I honestly think that when they first started those experiments, we had read about them enslaving spinach with carbon nanotubules. Oh, we read that they had somehow caused a spinach plant to suck up nanoparticles and carbon nanotubules. And they were able to use this plant, they called it a bionic plant, to detect explosives. And you know, I've talked a lot about how this technology really is just a big bag, a surveillance control grid that is being dropped upon us that will allow them to take the last bit of control that they don't have, and that is over all of life. That is over with the Brain Initiative as they start cracking all the secrets on how the brain works and how they can manipulate it, not only with electrical zaps, but even with tones and frequencies. They will be able to turn us into very subservient, what would they call us? I'm brain dead. It's Friday. It's only 5 minutes into the show. I only have one sip of coffee here. Wait, hold on. God, I remembered. They will turn us into good subjects to be ruled over by the rotten cherry on top that is planning on taking the planet for themselves. I mean, this, it's even gotten to the point now where not only are we going to lose the ability, because we've been looking at this facial recognition stuff, but not only facial recognition, but it could literally determine whether or not you could potentially commit a crime or be dishonest in the future based upon your genetic traits that show up in the details of your face. We also saw that they had been working on stuff that could literally pull thoughts out of your mind. And they're doing HD micro expression training with AI, where they will be able to identify little itty bitty twitches in your face when you are not being 100% honest. Way, way better than any lie detector out there. Self-driving cars, take away your last bastion of freedom, cranking up the tunes and doing 80 on the expressway. Guys, our last little bits and pieces of freedom that we enjoy right now are sliding away without us even noticing. And one of the things that I see that's going on while this is happening, talking about enslaving plants, and just wait, because we're going to get into plants and insects today. Some real crazy technology that DARPA is working on. But is is all of these last little bits and pieces to control biology, to control life 1.0. And we're not just talking humans. We're talking across the board. They're going at every bit of life on this planet right now, bagging, tagging, databasing, mixing, and matching in a petri dish to see what they could do with it. Remember the DARPA lady, we're going to terraform Mars. I'd like to be able to push a button and create a life form. Well, that is the end goal here. But you got to remember that while this is all going on, again, I've told you guys, Mr. Feinauer in fifth grade, something I never forgot that he taught us, there is no free lunch. So maybe it's just that I'm in New York and we're kind of like the, what did my friend used to call it? The New Korea. I don't know. It's not that bad up here. We got lots of trees, so it's kind of like my my drug. I love nature and hills and green. So, you know, despite a lot of the shit that happens in New York as far as high taxes and Cuomo, Bloomy, and Schumi, it's still bearable, at least for the time being. But one of the things, because we never had any type of medicinal or legalized marijuana in the state, until just very recently, they did a very controlled rollout of legalized medical. There's only a few places around the state that are producing it, and it's still very questionable how that's all going to work out. It's expensive, etc. But it made me realize, as I start looking across this country, that all of a sudden this big push to legalize marijuana, and I'm going to tell you, yeah, Colorado made lots and lots and lots of tax dollars. But they're already starting to see a mega depression in the prices because there are so many producers up there. You know, it went from $350 an ounce to like $100 an ounce now, and it's going to keep getting cheaper. All those jobs that blossomed and all those people they needed to hire, eventually they're not going to be able to afford too many of them. But now we have all these other states. I mean, there were other states before Oregon legalized. We have California still medical, and now they're looking for recreational. I don't know, maybe Vermont. I know there were a couple up this way. Michigan, for sure, had medical. But what I see happening now, I hear Brandon Turnerville saying on a show this week that I think there were nine new states on this ballot coming up on Monday or Tuesday, whenever voting day is, the day of reckoning, the scary day when the whole world is going to get sucked into a black hole on Tuesday. But there are like nine more states that have it on the ballot. I think it was for recreational. So here's the thing. We go back to some of those hauntingly accurate science fiction stories that we read when we were kids. Namely, the one I'm thinking of is 1984. And I actually read that in 1984. I was in 10th grade. And that was one of the assigned books for 10th grade advanced English. And so we read it. So I was one of those lucky ones that read 1984. And I remember thinking, oh, it's not like that yet. Well, it's getting like that now. Minority Report is here. One of the things that they did to quell the masses is they gave them Soma. Soma is kind of like a drug that just took the edge off, made them happy and compliant. And as I'm seeing, you know, I've been seeing a bunch of studies too. They're like, oh, you know, nothing about marijuana makes you want to be motivated. I saw another study about anyone who smokes marijuana doesn't want to go get a job. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. So we got all this shit going on that requires people to get their fat ass up off the couch, stand up and be loud, not be a couch potato, eating GMO Doritos, watching football while drooling. But don't worry about it, because you know what? Sit around, smoke a doob, watch some of that good TV, and it'll all be okay. And we'll tell you when this selection is over who we picked. You know, then we have this whole artificial intelligence revolution that is coming down the pike faster than we could even imagine. And they're saying, well, I just heard a BBC thing last night, as a matter of fact, talking about the same things that we've been talking about. Yep, what happens when all the robots take all the jobs? Well, even Obama has come out and said, yeah, universal basic income makes a lot of sense. Let's just pay everyone for sitting around being pretty and let them eat grapes and smoke pot, it seems. Because guess what? All those pot smokers who, and hey, I'm just saying, this seems a little suspicious that after all this time, I mean, I literally, when I was growing up, I had a friend's dad who got busted for a couple plants in New York State, and they lost everything. They lost their house, and his dad died in prison. That's what happens in New York. You grew plants, and now here we are. Just a short, I mean, I don't know, I just had my 30-year reunion for high school, which I didn't go to. And so just a mere 30 years ago, somebody that I knew's dad died in prison. And they lost everything. They took the house. They took all of his belongings. They auctioned everything off because it was all considered to be acquired by drug funds. That's how they work things. I don't remember what they call it. It's too early right now, but you know what I'm saying. We have forfeiture. So there is no free lunch. So here they're telling us they're going to give us not only free cash flying from the sky, but they're going to give us pot too, and really good cheap pot everywhere. Smoke it, smoke it, smoke it. It's all legal. But is that for our own good? What happens when you're sitting around smoking? I'll tell you what, it makes a damn good escape for when the world seems really dim and gray and you don't have lots of prospects. It'll make it go away, Johnny. Make the pain go away just for a little while. Get a smile and a laugh. And all those problems aren't out there anymore for a little bit. And I'm talking about any substance now, not just pot. These addictive, I don't know, people can say pot's not addictive, but I can tell you it could be psychologically addictive, at least to an extent, way easier to control than other things that are out there. But I'm just saying, once they give the masses their medications to make all the bad go away, and they'd already been doing this with antidepressants, or we covered that way back when, it was like, I don't even remember the percentage, but it was something like 60 or 70% of adults in the United States run some sort of antidepressant. You know, and then they're giving it to our kids and whatever. All I'm saying is drug masses are not motivated masses, and especially when the state is the one who controls whether or not you can get your next dose. That gives them a huge amount of control. And now, here we have this genetic modification happening, and I'm telling you, even though people are growing pot, and this isn't necessarily right now in huge pharmaceutical greenhouses, you know that they are working on finding ways to utilize cannabinoids for all kinds of different things and commercialize them, patent synthetic versions of them. But there are some new ways of genetically modifying things that we've discovered with the advent of CRISPR that even in the food world do not have to be considered quote unquote genetically modified by the definition, right? We discovered in the old world of genetic modification, they were using some sort of phage and then infecting a bacteria and then sending the bacteria into the plant, or maybe actually they were sending the phage into the plant, the virus, so it could inject its own DNA, go find any of the weaknesses on that cell and get it inside so it could replicate. Actually, I think it was a virus. Replicate, just like viruses are good at doing, and insert this foreign DNA into the plant. Well, now we have CRISPR, and we don't need to do that any longer with CRISPR, because CRISPR allows us just to go into the plant's genetic material and snip, zip and unzip, unzip and zip, make changes to the plants without adding any foreign material. They could if they wanted to, but they don't have to. And so that has already gotten around. We found the CRISPR mushrooms. It's already gotten around to having to label it as any type of genetic modification. And we mentioned yesterday, I mean, they've been messing with what's going to be labeled and what's not. You don't need to know where your food came from or what's in it, Johnny. Because it's all going to be good for you. And in the name of climate change in the future, it's all going to be cricket powder, 3D printed nutraceuticals in the shapes of Disney characters in your push-button replicator, just like Star Trek. So, as CRISPR is now rolling into the public consciousness, again, like I said, all these technologies, they're coming. They're very disruptive. They're going to turn our world on its head. They're happening way, 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 way faster than anyone ever imagined because of the law of exponential returns. But they can't get people scared because there are people like you and me that are out here going, whoa, dude, back up the truck. I don't want to be eating any synthetic shit. I don't want synthetic vaccines. I don't want polluted air. I don't want robots driving my car. I don't want little nanobots in my blood. Nope, nope, nope. Well, we're a problem. We are a big problem. So they need to change that perception. So, like I said, you've seen that they've been rolling out all these commercials at all these cancer institutes. We all have one now. Every big city working on cutting edge cancer cures. Many of them have to do with gene editing, splicing and dicing, whether it be T cells or blood cells or whatever, and then putting them back into the person and hoping that something works. I saw a new one again coming out of Pittsburgh. Pennsylvania seems to be another big future lizard pit, including that Carnegie Mellon that won the DARPA Cyber Grand Challenge, which will be the future of Skynet. Yep, it's a story that came out the other day. Gene editing technology may now help cure blood disorders as well. We've already found out they're going to CRISPR humans here in December, just a month from now at Penn U. There's lots of high hopes for that. We read yesterday about that cloning factory in China. And that not only is their plan to clone 100 cows, high-grade beef, but they're also cloning drug dogs and race horses. And yes, they are set up for cloning humans, but don't worry, we're not going to make Frankensteins. Well, now we are running behind China. China is ahead of us in everything, by the way, and all this disruptive technology has become a new war on technologies of mass destruction. So we got to go all balls out forward. We got to make this happen. And we need to make it happen fast. And we don't have time to screw around in the lab for a year and a half spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in R&D before that pesky FDA will even give us a look-see to see whether or not they think they might approve it. So guess what? We're planning and doing something new, this 21st Century Cures Act, which was still sitting on the floor the last time I saw, that would give them the ability to circumvent the FDA, because the FDA has been standing in the way of all these life-saving cures. Go direct to consumer. Open your arms, desperate. I'm going to offer you the golden dangling key. You take it up. We'll maybe give you one last chance there, Johnny. Hey, if you're lucky, roll those dice. It's a crapshoot anyway, right? Life is all about being a crapshoot. Make some good decisions and make some bad ones. Well, now I'm going to give you the chance at living longer and potentially healthier. And in the meantime, you've just accelerated. I'm Big Pharma. You've just accelerated my research and development on this project, and it didn't cost me shit because you stepped up for free. I didn't have to get little mousies and bunnies or monkeys in the lab, and I didn't have to beg the FDA to allow me to launch some clinical human trials. Well, now there's a next generation gene editing technology that may be able to treat genetic blood disorders such as sickle cell anemia. A research team comprised of scientists from Carnegie Mellon University and Yale successfully tested a gene editing system on mice in a study published in the journal Nature Communications. This system, used in the experiment, builds on current gene editing technology such as CRISPR, but unlike CRISPR and other conventional methods, this approach tested by the research team does not rely on cutting DNA enzymes to target specific genes. The study's author say that their findings may have positive implications for human patients in the future. Well, few versus negative implications. Here we are going now into the next step. So we are ready. Now we have CRISPR. CRISPR has been normalized, at least in the scientific community. And all those ethics about gene editing people apparently were forgotten in 2016. Like I said, in January 2016, we were all worried about the ethics of self-driving cars. And the car making the decision as to whether or not, in the event of a potential catastrophe, whether or not to drive you into a wall and kill you, just the one participant, the one person in the vehicle, or to careen into the sidewalk and potentially kill 20 people that are walking there. The car will make that decision to kill you and drive you into the wall to protect those 20 people. Yes, that was the big ethical question in January of 2016. And now here we are. CRISPR and people is the newest rage. I told you my dad was even saying he'd step right up. He's seen all the commercials. Hey, if I got one more chance, I'm going to take it. Because we are in the 21st century George Jetson world now. It was promised to us for my whole life. So I'm going to take that last chance. I mean, it's just so frightening to me that we have gotten to this point. Well, now guess what? Now that CRISPR is so normalized, now we have a new system that we're going to start experimenting with on humans. That's even better than CRISPR. This new system uses nano-sized synthetic molecules known as peptide nucleic acids, or PNAs, to open up double-stranded DNA and bind near the target site without cutting anything. Now, it really makes me wonder, because this is the first I've seen really about this technology. They're talking about nano-sized synthetic molecules known as peptide nucleic acids. Just making me wonder if this has anything to do with those new X and Y nucleic acids that they made for DNA to start creating drugs and new therapies. During the study, this approach was used to target a malfunctioning gene associated with the production of hemoglobin to treat beta thalassemia, which is a blood disorder, and in addition to a mouse model. Researchers tested the approach on human bone marrow cells in the lab and observed up to a 7% success in the gene editing and elevated levels of hemoglobin for several months after the treatment. Despite the small percentage, though, the study's authors maintain gene correction should be minimal when treating such disorders. The effect may only be 7%, but that is curative. But in the case of this particular disease model, you don't need a lot of correction. You don't need 100% to see the phenotype return to normal. So, you know, here we go now. It's all balls out. We have new technologies now, and we're going to go straight to testing them. We're going to start looking now. They did bone marrow. Yep, it works. They did mouses. Yep, it works. Time to start testing it on people. You know that's going to happen. So we take it a step further now. We have DARPA working on all kinds of crazy stuff. We know they got all this money, billions and billions of dollars, to dump into 21st century technologies just over the next couple of years. And as this is rolling out and as this technology is happening faster and faster, we're not keeping up. And they've discovered in doing these sociological studies that humans tend to like habits. Humans tend to like things to be the same. And with the law of exponential returns, things are moving so quickly that they may not be keeping up with the new technologies that they want to get into us and they want to implement all across this rock. Well, don't worry about it, because they found a way. They have again solicited Hollywood to make sure that we put this into the public consciousness. They've rolled out J-Lo. New gene editing trick discovered just in time for J-Lo's CRISPR TV series, da-da-da-da, on NBC. Yes. Who would have thunk it? Rule number one of journalism is that if, and this is according to the story from the Washington Post, if you have any plausible reason to mention Jennifer Lopez in a highly technical story about genetics and biochemistry, well, go for it. And so we have. Jennifer Lopez, according to the Hollywood Reporter, is hoping to produce a dramatic TV series titled da-da-da-da, CRISPR. Like, I literally almost fell off my chair when I saw this. I mean, come on. Jennifer Lopez is going to be doing a dramatic TV series called CRISPR, which would feature male and female protagonists trying to what? Oh, save humanity from a mad scientist. So you know what? Let's spin this into a fantasy Hollywood world with Jennifer Lopez and make people like me and you, who really can't understand what the big picture is and how close we are to this really being reality, they're going to make us look like we've just been watching a TV show while eating our GMO Doritos, drooling on the couch, and we're all fantasy. According to the Hollywood Reporter, it says, in the same vein of Castle, and I don't know what that is, it must have been a show, romance will blossom between the scientist and the FBI agent. Oh, God. As they team to bring down a diabolical genius with what? Oh, just what I've been saying, a twisted God complex. And he happens to be your former boss. This drama will see mentor and protege battle for control over the human genome in a game of cat and mouse in which the future of our species, ding, may rest and all disease could one day be eradicated. Like, are you insane? I couldn't even believe that they are taking something this serious. Like, this literally serious. And that is the absolute truth. This now is a battle for the future of our species with what they are doing right now. And we're going to turn it into some freaking retard NBC, J-Lo, Love Blossom, FBI scientist, Chase, Mad Science Gone Mad TV series. It's unfathomable. Well, maybe not, but I really could not believe that they have done this. And this is going to delegitimize anything and everything that we talk about from here on out about this technology. Let's continue a little bit more. The bad scientist with the God complex apparently is devilish in his use of the gene editing technique known as CRISPR. But NBC has asked for scripts, and according to the Hollywood Reporter, but the network is yet to order a pilot, so the show may yet evaporate while Hugh, along with a million other dreams and aspirations. Spokesman for NBC Universal told us by email, CRISPR is actually just in development, as you noted, and we do not comment on those projects until they actually move along. Now the news. this is down below, researchers at Yale and Carnegie Mellon Universities, and this is the one we just read about, the sickle cell, published a paper in Nature Communications revealing a completely different method of editing genes and targeting mutations that can cause disease. This new technique is not nearly as simple as CRISPR, but less likely to miss its target. That's something that I keep seeing now after they've been singing the accolades of CRISPR for this last year about how wonderful it is. Apparently, it's not as specific as they hope. And even if they target certain genes, those genes, I mean, remember, they think that they understand, but they don't really. They understand one drop in the bucket. But they've been discovering that as they edit genes, those genes have other functions and they could be off target and cause other issues. So don't step right up, people. You are 1.0 experiment. Although genetic manipulation has been around for decades, CRISPR has exploded in the last few years as a favorite technique because it is versatile, inexpensive, and relatively easy. And some of the key ingredients for this kind of gene editing can be ordered online, and we already looked at that. There was that Cambrian Genomics. They had already started. They're doing 3D laser printing DNA. You can actually go out and order genome sequences, $29.95, overnight shipping. I mean, there is no sanctity to life anymore. Some of the key ingredients for this kind of gene editing can be ordered online and delivered via express mail. And of course, we had not-for-profits such as Adagene that sent out 60,000 copies all over planet Earth to make sure that we democratized this technology so little Johnny can gene edit in mommy's back bedroom. But hey, don't worry about it, because this could make gene editing safer than CRISPR for gene therapy in human patients. So don't worry about any of this new technology that's coming. The CRISPR system was actually invented by bacteria in the distant past. CRISPR is their own complex system for repairing the genome, and CRISPR exploits the natural enzyme called Cas9 that targets a section of the genetic code. The problem is that this is not a perfect science. CRISPR's genome snipping isn't always in the right place. Whoops, didn't mean to snip those. Scientists claim progress in limiting off-target effects, but CRISPR to this point has not matured enough as a technique to be used in human therapies. No, except for some of these first human tests that are happening. Maybe not here, but in China they already have. It is really good at cutting the genome, but it tends to make cuts in the wrong place. Now, look at, they've been screwing around with this already for a couple years. How many times have we heard that it makes cuts in the wrong place? Not too many. And so good thing they're fessing up. But they're fessing up problem reaction solution because they have a new way now to start splicing genes. All right, so this is tricky stuff. It only works with a small percentage of cells, but amazingly, even that level of efficiency is enough to suppress the diseases that we have studied so far, say scientists. But good old Clapper, head of the National Security Agency, whatever he is, National Agency of Security something, went up in front of the Armed Services Committee and said that CRISPR and gene editing is one of the new weapons of mass destruction, then we need to be careful with absolutely no holds barred. Well, hey, DARPA's gotten into the game. DARPA's been doing some major research here, and they are going to make sure they protect us. DARPA announced that they have a new project going on. The title of this article is Locking Down the Genome. Oops, yes. Because remember, like I've said before, that once this genie gets out of the bottle, and they have created synthetic proteins, synthetic nucleic acids, X and Ys, that can be mixed in with the CATGs and create new life forms that have never before been seen in anywhere in the universe. And they can get them to reproduce. Well, that's a big problem, because if they can reproduce, They can be passed from life form to life form, which will completely change the future makeup of biological life here on this planet. And if a rogue actor could get their hands on these technologies, especially since it's been democratized across the planet, we could have some big issues here in the future. Well, they're coming to our rescue. The Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, more affectionately known as DARPA, recently announced that it is looking for researchers to contribute to its Safe Gene Project, with the goal of developing tools to protect the genome against unwanted gene editing, whether or not it is intentional or accidental. A recent update to the project proposal has detailed what DARPA is looking for, quote, the development of systems which can apply a kind of, and listen to this, people, because I told you, you know, you have companies such as Microsoft who want to get these little synthetic drugs or nanobots into your blood to be able to tamp down on disease, monitor, and cure cancer. But once they put this creation of theirs into your body, this creation that probably is patented and licensed and trademarked, who's going to own that code? Are you going to have to pay a licensing fee? And are you going to have to get updates to keep it functional? And will there be a self-destruct if you don't pay up after you have received the new upgrade? Guys, I really think that somewhere in the future, that is exactly how it's going to be. And if I ever needed a sign that we were on the right track in that line of thinking, let's listen to this again because I didn't finish the sentence. DARPA's project proposal has now detailed what they are looking for. Quote, the development of systems which can apply a kind of, quote, digital rights management, unquote, to a genome. Ding, ding. Rendering it resistant to a variety of genome editors and also able to reverse the effects of gene editing on an already affected genome based on the distinctive signature of various editing tools. So going to make digital rights management for your genome, just like we're making a shape-shifting immune system for humans as well. That works a lot like an antivirus. They can program cells just like they were little applications. Guys, this isn't good. I mean, they're going to lock us down. They can gene edit. They can reverse the gene edit. We can do a rollback just like we can do in Windows, is what the plan is. This first step would require contributors to develop ways to counter gene editing in mice and insect embryos. There's so much research going on in insects right now. And remember, that is all a part of that entomological warfare. It's part of our biowarfare program that never ended. DARPA specifies that these inhibitors should be, quote, capable of inhibiting multiple classes of gene editors in multiple species and can include delivery mechanisms such as small molecules, antibodies, and interfering RNAs. And those are those RNAIs that we talked about a couple years back already. Stuff that Monsanto was working on, as well as all the drug companies being able to flip those switches on and off without having to splice and dice. The subsequent stages would involve testing these inhibitors in live subjects and then testing them in a gene drive. And we read all about gene drives in regards to mosquitoes and Oxitec, genetically modifying mosquitoes so they can no longer reproduce unless they had some sort of tetracycline. That's what that experiment was about. But it's gone way beyond that now. They are messing around with gene drives for all kinds of things. It will allow them to push a genetic change through an entire population. And organizations such as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are well invested in that technology. That technology is considered a weapon of mass destruction. The project scope appears to be both remedial and preventative. And this is this locking down the genome project. So if there's an accident, you know, like some of those bio labs that don't have any type of level 4 security that are screwing around with this stuff, or the 60,000 copies of adagene that have been spread, democratized across the planet. If one of those happens to get out, Typhoid Mary, oops, and it spreads, and people start bumping into walls, we can remediate with our new program. Step right up and get your gene therapy to reverse the horn that just grew out of your head. I mean, how twisted is this? We can reverse gene editing. Bloop. Oh, you know what, Johnny? That brain augmentation didn't quite work out so well. Here, let's do a rollback and we can try again. Oh, but they can also make it as a preventative to develop a type of immunization, ding, against genetic interference, at least from editing tools that leave identifiable signatures behind, right? Because I'm sure that there are other tools out there that don't leave any type of signature out there to even know that it's happened. And that's kind of like where we look at old school GMO and we can find foreign material versus CRISPRing, where they're just zip and unzip in food. The Defense Advanced Project Agency released more detailed specs regarding its call for proposers contributing the Safe Gene Project, whose goal is to reverse the malicious or accidental negative effects of gene editing in the general population. Of course, it's going to be a kind of digital rights management. And the first phase of this project will last 2 years, and the contributors will need to develop countermeasures to the effects of genome editors. Proposers are being asked to consider various decontaminant possibilities and to offer their own suggestions, but the inhibitors developed should be capable of inhibiting multiple classes of gene editors in multiple species. One interesting aspect is that the inhibitor system must be non-toxic. Well, thank goodness. Not interfere with the normal process of cell reproduction and produce minimal off-target effects. DARPA invites new approaches to the potential ways that this inhibitor system would be delivered to the general population, but it suggests that external applications, oral delivery, remember edibles through the mucosa lining in the gut, or delivery via nucleic acids are distinct possibilities. What is unclear is whether it would be necessary for an inhibitor to run through all the lines of genetic code in a genome using a wild card search, kind of like the shift 8 asterisk on a computer, looking for known editor signatures, or whether a heuristic style search would seek out the kind of behavior modifications common to all gene editing activity. And that heuristic approach sounds very much like intrusion detection and prevention, like I have talked about that next generation of protecting your network beyond an antivirus, where they can just look for signatures of something that maybe is outside of parameters and quarantine. They're going to turn, we literally are being turned into computers that they will be able to program and manipulate and digital rights manage, as we just heard. There also seems to be a possibility to compare genetic checksum registers when the genome was unmodified to an altered checksum after editing has taken place, and use this as a less invasive basis for establishing that genes have been artificially modified, and probably, I'm going to say, do a rollback. And though not addressed in the latest proposal request, any remedial agent would also need to not interfere with any valid gene editing that has taken place as medical science begins to investigate the possibility for therapy via direct manipulation of DNA. The agency's broad research remission makes it prone to initiate speculative work that is very exciting on paper, but sometimes science fictional in scope. And the latest release certainly follows the trend, right? Except that then they have mad scientists who are actually working on this, and how disturbing. So we're going to have, you know, there's going to be gene editing that is qualified and gene editing that is not. You're going to have gene editing. Maybe you'll have to have a license for hand gene editing that doesn't. And so we'll have a digital rights management on the human genome. We can scan it at any time with your brand new intelligent little things living in your body that will be able to determine whether or not you have rogue edits. I can't even get over how completely off the rails crazy this is. And if you guys remember, when this first came out, we covered it. DARPA announced back in 2014 their brand new biological technologies office. RT was actually the only one that covered it. And there was a video on this that I played on air that day. It often seems that the government is banking on robots to fight the wars of the future, and that artificial intelligence is the key to future defense. So we found out just a few days ago that, yes, the Pentagon thinks that about 50% or more of all soldiers and wars will be fought by AI by 2025. But the biological systems and the engineering lessons they teach are just as important, say DARPA. And while DARPA has long studied biology and looked at ways to incorporate biological systems into projects, there has never been a specific division dedicated to biotech until now. And this is called the BTO. DARPA announced in April of 2014 that all existing and future biotech research will be part of a newly created Biological Technologies Office, more affectionately known as BTO. The overall mission is to, quote, harness the power of biological systems by applying the rigorous tools of engineering and related disciplines, and to design next-generation technologies that are inspired by insights gained from life sciences. And, I mean, that's what it's all about. Copying nature, making it synthetic, and then putting some sort of trademark or patent on it, some sort of licensing, so they can own it, control it, and profit from it. Now DARPA is poised to give unprecedented prominence to a field of research that can no longer be considered peripheral to technology's evolving nature. And starting today, 2014, biology takes its place among the core sciences that represent the future of defense technology. Ding, ding, ding. Biology has become part of defense. Anything that is part of defense makes it a killing machine. They can say all they want that they're going to come up with ways to keep us safe, but it actually isn't about keeping us safe. It is about control and being overlords. It is about conquering others, is what warfare is about, and being able to control resources. At first, the BTO will mainly handle projects already underway in existing offices of defense sciences, which is the DSO, and the microsystems technology group, which is the MTO. And one of the newer projects is the hand proprioception and touch interface, which is the haptics program. And I think we just read about that, where they now have prosthetics that are mind controlled and can feel sensation. But moving forward, projects will focus on three technologies: the health and preparedness of military personnel, both in war zones and after returning home. Yes, get your implant, Johnny, when you sign up. The ability to harness biological systems and incorporate them into projects. And lastly, but not leastly, the ability to apply biological complexity at scale, that is, following the organizational techniques of cells within an organism. First category includes ongoing projects like the system-based neurotechnology for emerging therapies or the SubNets program, which helped and helps injured veterans restore lost function. And that SubNets was all part of that brain initiative and implants. In the autonomous diagnostics to enable prevention and therapeutics, which is their ADEPT program, which seeks ways to protect soldiers against infectious diseases. And let's fast forward 2 years, and now they have the shape-shifting immune system that all these different mad scientists are working on for them. There is also the ongoing biochronicity program, which I don't quite know what that one is. It's been around for at least 2 years, enabling researchers at Duke University to investigate the, quote, role of time in biological functions and make it possible to manage the effects of time on human physiology. Wonder if that has anything to do with making your brain feel it has passed 1,000 years in prison in just 8 hours. Biosynchronicity program. I'll have to look that one up. As biotech becomes ever more important, there are likely to be more and more projects that raise ethical questions, DARPA acknowledged in the press release. But because the BTO program pushed the leading edge of science, they will sometimes be society's first encounter with the ethical, legal, or social dilemmas that can be raised by new biological technologies, they said. The BTO will advance and expand on a number of earlier DARPA programs that made preliminary inroads into the biotechnological frontier, says Director Jeff Ling. And we've been developing the technological building blocks, and we've been analyzing our results, and now we are saying publicly to the research and development community, quote, we are ready to start turning the resulting knowledge into practical tools and capabilities. So we see that already with the story we ended the show with yesterday. Bionic plants can detect explosives. Spinach is no longer a superfood. No. Spinach can now sense dangerous chemicals. Carbon nanotubule enhanced plants can send alerts. I just can't even listen to this. Spinach is no longer just a superfood. By embedding leaves with carbon nanotubules, MIT engineers have transformed spinach plants into sensors that can detect explosives and then wirelessly relay that information to a handheld device like a smartphone. I mean, what kind of world is this going to be? We have wireless plants that are acting as sensors, spying on what is going on in the environment and sending intelligence back to a mobile device. All right. Well, in the last few minutes here for a Friday, it gets even worse than that, guys. Right off of DARPA's DARPA.mil site, DARPA enlists insects sting to protect agricultural food supplies and commodity crops. A new program aims for insect delivery. Haha, entomological warfare. A new program aims for insect delivery of protective genes to modify mature plants within a single growing season. Now soak that in for a minute. Modifying mature plants. I think they're talking about genetic modification, except not doing splice and dicing, not doing viruses, not doing CRISPR. Nope. We're going to have the bugs do it for us. Hey, it's nature's way. May not be obvious to humans, but the life of a plant is full of peril. Viruses, pests, fungi, herbicides, drought, pollution, salinity, flooding, and frost. The plants that we depend on for food, clean air, and materials are challenged by a myriad of threats, man-made and natural. But by extension, human populations are put at risk when food security is challenged. And right, food security is one of those big national security issues. And the agricultural underpinnings of our economy are destabilized, especially when threats emerge rapidly or unexpectedly. Farmers and other responsible for plant health use long-standing tools such as crop rotation, selective breeding, pesticides, slash and burn clearing, quarantining plants, and defending against the worst effects of pathogens, pests, and environmental insults. But these methods can be slow, inefficient, and damaging to the requirement and may require expensive and extensive infrastructure. Well, a new DARPA program is here to save the day because it is poised to provide an alternative to traditional agriculture threat response using targeted gene therapies to protect mature plants within a single growing season. Hey, we're going to make some sort of gene-edited vaccine for plants, it sounds. DARPA proposes to leverage a natural and very efficient two-step delivery system to transfer modified genes into plants, insect vectors, ding, and the plant viruses they transmit. In the process, DARPA aims to transform certain insect pests, they're going to transform insects into insect allies. Yeah, they're going to be little spies and poison agents. The name of this new effort, so it's called the Insect Ally Effort. Insects eat plants, and insects transmit the variety of plant viruses. DARPA plans to harness the power of this natural system by engineering genes inside of plant viruses that then can be transmitted by insects to confer protective traits to the target plants that they feed upon. Insect allies, three technical areas, trait design, insect vector optimization, and selective gene therapy in mature plants layered together to support this goal of rapidly transforming mature plants to protect against natural or intentional agricultural disruption without the need for extensive infrastructure. So, all right, guys, make sure you stick around. Lots of live radio. Lonnie Clark is live up next tonight. Jake Anderson and DB Schwartz and Levon Slott for Anthem Media Radio. Have an awesome weekend, and I will catch up with you on Monday. Everybody, take care.